As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Once again, hosting Jake Seeley, Brandon Funston. Special guest this week, Marcus Grant of NFL Network and NFL.com and NFL Fantasy and all those NFL things. I'll get to him in a second. But as a reminder, Michael Beller is out for a few more weeks. Send him happy birthday wishes on Twitter. And we are doing our last segment heading into the NFL draft, quarterbacks and tight ends. And we're going to talk about that. But as I mentioned, Marcus is our guest today. Marcus, I mentioned all the places they could find you, at Marcus G on Twitter with two A's, to spell it correctly. Tell everybody where to find your great work, your great videos, your great podcast, your greatness, period.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, if you go to the Twitter account, that's pretty much the clearinghouse for all these things. But in case you want specific locations, like the NFL Fantasy Football Show, still going once a week, so you can find that. All the places you download podcasts, with that Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, whatever, all those places there. And then check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/NFL Fantasy Football. That's what it is. So you can check out our stuff there. We're doing a lot of stuff there. All our little social channels, Instagram. We have a Clubhouse channel now, apparently. I was on a Clubhouse thing, which
Are you like me on Clubhouse? You signed up and haven't done anything on it yet?
So I only signed up because people asked me to be part of their panels. But like beyond the two panels I have been on, I have not listened to a single thing on Clubhouse. I don't know. It seems like audio Twitter, which seems even more confusing than just regular Twitter. So I haven't really jumped in.
Have you gotten on there, Brandon? Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
Of course not. No. Clubhouse? What are you talking about? Talking baseball? What's going on here?
But I noticed they changed the app icon to a lady now.
Oh, is it? I guess I don't have the updated one.
Now it's a lady with like some short, glossy hair looking up into the distance, like, I guess, pontificating about what she's doing next.
I guess I should update my app.
We're talking NFL rookies. So right off the get-go, I'm going to phrase this a little bit differently. Like, we know Trevor Lawrence is going number one. We know Trevor Lawrence has the upside to be a QB1 in fantasy. So I'll go to you first, Marcus, since you're the guest. But look, we saw Justin Herbert was just a QB1. We've seen other rookies be QB1. So here's how I'm going to attack it, Marcus. It's not, can Trevor Lawrence be a QB1? Is what's the tipping point for you in drafts where you would say, that's too rich, I'm not taking him, because I'm one of the people that would take him around QB 9 or 10 just for his upside. So is that too much? Are you going to be completely out on him? Is there a point where you're going to be like, all right, I'm in, but now it's too much? Or are you not even thinking about him as a QB1?
I don't think 9 or 10 is too ridiculous. I tended to be more outside my top 10, maybe 11 or 12. But, you know, if you told me you were going to take him as the QB9, I wouldn't fight with you about it, because I do see that upside, right? I mean, Justin Herbert is the name that keeps coming up for him in his first year and what he can be. So I understand that. I did a mock draft. We did one for our pod. This was a couple of months ago, before we got really into the thick of draft season. And we were surprised that he ended up coming off the board as like the QB 8, which kind of shocked me a little bit. I think that's a little bit too much for me. I mean, I'm looking at Justin Herbert this year as the QB 8, so I'm not ready to put Trevor Lawrence in that category. You know, if he's still on the board in, you know, round 9 or 10, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen. That might be just me wishful thinking. But if that happens, I definitely snatch him up. But for me, I think 9, I guess if you're asking what the tipping point is, 9 might be it. Anything above that seems like I'm probably backing away.
Yeah, I'm with Marcus. I'm about 11 or 12, but I think Justin Herbert is the, you know, he is the poster quarterback, you know, coming off his rookie season. And not dissimilar from Trevor Lawrence in size and kind of what he can do, that kind of like make you feel good about Trevor Lawrence being a QB1. The thing is, you know, Herbert was a QB1 last year. Dak Prescott was hurt. Carson Wentz went off the rails. It feels like the quarterback position is going to be a little bit heftier this year in terms of depth and quality at the top. So, and, you know, Justin Herbert already did it, so he's kind of the bird in hand. If you're in a draft, you're going to take Justin Herbert, you're going to take Trevor Lawrence. I think I'm going to take Justin Herbert. So I think all these little things kind of push him down to the back end of the QB1 area. But, I, you know, tell me that he's going to be finishing as a QB1. I won't blink at that at all.
Well, I think we keep always bringing up Justin Herbert, and part of the reason is because he's the success story, and obviously we have the downside. And, you know, Joe Burrow wasn't going to finish as a top 10 quarterback even if he stayed healthy. But I will bring up, you did mention that, and, you know, Dak Prescott being hurt and all that. But even so, from week 2 through the end of the season, Justin Herbert was actually QB6. Mm-hmm. And then even if you throw in Dak Prescott's one game, or now three games that he overlapped, his points per game average only drops to number 7 because Dak Prescott jumps to number 1. So, again, I'm not saying that. I think that's why I phrased it the way I did, is because where you guys are like, 9, 10, 11, 12, I'm like, I'm okay with 8 or 9. We're kind of all in the same range. I'm a little bit higher, but I think that you're going to see that you're probably going to be in on him if you push him to 8, and you might even see him gone, as you mentioned, because Marcus said in his draft that he was the QB8. Like, I think that's going to be the tipping point for a lot of drafts. All right, so let's go to the number 2 pick. And I was going to group these quarterbacks together, but we kind of, unless the Jets are smarter than they've ever been, if we're with like how old we are, like 30, 40 years, they're taking Zach Wilson, unless they're playing the trick of all tricks and they're smarter than everybody thinks they are. But Zach Wilson to the Jets, Marcus, can he even get to QB1? Because I think we're looking at the difference between Herbert, even Lawrence with the Jaguars, and what Wilson's going to be stepping into is the weapons are a big thing. The offensive line is a big thing. So does Wilson falling to the Jets, well, falling, quote unquote, does he going to the Jets really even get on your radar for fantasy as a rookie?
Not as a rookie. I mean, not in seasonal leagues. I mean, I guess maybe you take the shot on him in dynasty leagues. But even then, I think he's down quite a ways. And you're right. It is, for me, it is the weapons. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, one, has, you know, just otherworldly talent. You know, he is touted as the greatest quarterback prospect since, you know, fill in the blank. Zach Wilson is just a nice player who's going to a team that really is struggling to find weapons. As you mentioned, the offensive line is kind of a mess. There are so many holes to fill there that I just don't see him really being an impactful guy. I mean, you know, in some ways, I think what you expect out of Zach Wilson this year is probably kind of what we've seen out of Sam Darnold the last couple years when he's healthy. I mean, it just is what it is. This is going to be, in theory, the centerpiece of this franchise. But for me in fantasy, I'm not going to take a second look at Zach Wilson. I just have no interest in drafting him in any real redraft leagues this year.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is, I think, and I don't know where you guys are on Justin Fields, but we're going to like Justin Fields better in fantasy.
We're going to get to him.
Fantasy, because he's going to have the higher rushing upside. And Zach Wilson can run. I mean, that's probably the under, you know, discussed part of his game. But, you know, Justin Fields is going to bring meaningful numbers to that. And so, you know, if they're both in a starting situation, there's just not enough room for QB1 to put, you know, Justin Fields and Zach Wilson there. And I will say, I'm having a hard time, like, getting used to Robert Saleh and like, a whole new regime there. I'm still kind of, like, thinking Adam Gase, and I want to just poo-poo on the whole situation. I mean, there's a chance it could be appreciably better, but, you know, we got to kind of have to see it, because it's been so many years of just, you know, mediocrity is being kind, so.
The ghost of Gase is going to live for a long time exactly. Around that place.
See, but is the ghost of Gase maybe the best haunting you could have? because everything turns out good.
Was that what Sam Darnold saw in the game when he said, when he said, "I see ghosts"? Remember that game?
That's right.
It was Adam Gase.
I mean, honestly, like Sam Darnold's going to be a QB1 this year, right? Because like that's the trend. You get away from Adam Gase and you're great. So Sam Darnold's a QB1 now.
Only according to our own Michael Salfino, who
look, I said, if Sam Darnold is a top 10 quarterback this year, skip right past Rule. Put Joe Brady in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Just do it right now. If he has that magic. But, you know, you brought up Fields, Brandon. So it's kind of tricky because you can't really bring in Fields without bringing in Lance and Mac Jones. But I'm going to try to do it anyway because I want to touch on the 49ers as a landing spot and kind of touch on that whole situation. But, again, we can kind of try to dance around it. Fields of itself. Let's just say Fields in and of himself, Brandon. You brought him up. Fields rushing upside, we know. Like I brought it up and said he's between Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. If he ran for 900 yards starting 16 games, it wouldn't be a shock to me. So is he the next on this list? Like, let's put the teams aside for a second here, and let's just say pure rookie quarterbacks. Is Fields the number two just because of the rushing upside, or does his landing spot matter to you? Like, what if he falls all the way to 15 with the Patriots, like we just saw some people doing yesterday, which was just insanity? What if we see him, you know, land in a situation where his weapons are just junk?
Yeah.
What if we see him, you know, does it matter to you, or is it the fact that the rushing upside is going to be what's carrying
him? Well, San Francisco is such a great spot. It's not going to be Justin Fields. I think it should be. As a Seahawks fan, I'm glad it's not going to be Justin Fields. If it really is Mac Jones, look, Mac Jones probably starts week one, and it's, you know, you got those weapons, and Kyle Shanahan's been a quarterback whisperer. You know, then let's just say Justin Fields went to Atlanta, and you know, Atlanta's thinking, okay, we got Justin Fields to take over.
Well, he's backing up.
Yeah, he's backing up. But let's say he just goes to some.
Let's say he's a starter, period.
If he's a starter, period, I'm going to probably go to Justin Fields. But Mac Jones, remember.
No matter the team?
No matter the team. Yeah, I'm going to take him over Mac Jones. I mean. Where could he go? Where would you guys think that Justin Fields can go where you wouldn't feel better about him than Mac Jones?
Well, not even Mac Jones. Would you say Justin, as a rookie, seasonal, redraft, Justin Fields is a starter, whatever team he's on, pick your worst team potentially, whatever team he's on, do you take Justin Fields over Matthew Stafford, Daniel Jones, like these kind of fringy mid to upper level QB2s?
Daniel Jones, I do. Matthew Stafford. Yeah. Stafford is the easy one. Yeah. Go ahead, Marcus. You weigh in here since I've been talking for a while.
Daniel Jones. I take Justin Fields over Daniel Jones. Probably not Stafford. I think Stafford with the Rams is a really good situation. So that one, I
Matt
probably
Ryan?
Wouldn't.
Yeah, does Matt Ryan get Kyle flip? Pitts? I mean,
the Falcons trading Julio? I mean, you know, do they get Kyle Pitts? That one is probably the coin flip for me between Justin Fields and Matt Ryan. I don't understand all this talk. You talk about people mocking Fields at 15 to the Patriots. I mean, look, not to call out one of my coworkers, but I mean, Charlie Casserly had him mocked at number 24, which blew everybody's minds. You know, and so I don't understand it, right? I mean, we're talking about maybe physically him being as gifted as anybody in this draft, aside from Trevor Lawrence. Yet somehow we're seeing these mocks where he's falling down, and I don't really understand it. I will say this: that as somebody who grew up as a 49er fan and on a text chain with friends who are 49ers fans. They have gone through these seven stages of grief now over Mac Jones. I think my text chain friends have reached acceptance now. I think they've just realized that this is probably what it's going to be, and they're trying to make the best of it. But yeah, over the last month or 6 weeks, I think they have gone through all seven stages.
Well, see, and there's two things there. Is one, you know, I'm completely with you. I've long said Justin Fields is number two in this draft in my book. The fact of – I had a tweet blow up last night while I was sleeping where I was joking about it. I said if he doesn't go number two, okay, it's questionable. If he doesn't go number three, now it's a mistake. If he doesn't go number four, it's a joke. If he falls into the teens, just fire me into the sun. I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Like that's – I don't want to see this. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm with you, Marcus. I saw – I forget who said it, but it was about a week ago where they said every single year we talk about quarterback prospects, and Mac Jones is perfect. He's like, this is what he does well. This is why we see upside. This is where he can grow. This is what he did in college. And on the flip side, everything about Fields is this is what he can't do. This is what he's struggling with. This is the throws he can't make. And it's just baffling. I'm with you. But let's attack the 49ers. Let's stick with you real quick, Marcus, and stay with your 49ers. And I'm not promoting like, hey, this is what I tweeted too. But I'm with you in the fact that I said, if they do take Mac Jones, Kyle Shanahan better be the damn smartest person in the NFL, because everybody, there's not one person that's sitting out there that's saying Mac Jones should be the third quarterback off the board. But because it's Shanahan, because he has made magic out of Nick Mullins, because Nick Mullins is a backup, is there hope fantasy-wise that if Mac Jones is with the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, we know that offense, we know what Shanahan can do. Is there hope in fantasy that maybe he does turn him into a QB1?
I mean, sure, it's possible. It's funny. I went through the list of Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks. And it's not, I mean, it's not spectacular. I mean, he had Matt Ryan, obviously. You know, he had 1 or 2 years of RG3. You know, he had him when he was fully healthy. And then obviously the knee problems kind of set in. I mean, beyond that, the Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks are sort of meh. I mean, he's had Kirk Cousins. You know, and then he's got this poo-poo platter that he's got in San Francisco with, you know, Garoppolo and Mullins and Beathard or whatever. But for the most part, you don't look at his list of quarterbacks and it blows you away. But he has had success with it. So I guess that's something to sort of hang your hat on. But I guess that's also why it sort of baffled me that, you know, the Niners might be trading up, first of all, to get Mac Jones. What I originally thought, if they wanted to get him, they could have stayed at 12 probably and still gotten Mac Jones. Why would you trade up to get a guy who's basically a clone of what you've had throughout your career? Why wouldn't you trade up and get a guy who's maybe more of a prototype of what quarterbacks are becoming now, right? I mean, Justin Fields is closer to what the quarterback position is going to be than Mac Jones is. Why not get that guy who, I'm not going to say he's Robert Griffin at his peak, but he has some of those same skills. It just sort of blows my mind. But I guess at this point, we're sort of believing in the greatness of Kyle Shanahan, in the offensive genius of Kyle Shanahan. I look that, but that's the argument, right? That's the argument for why he can make Mac Jones successful, because everybody still believes that he really does have this magic touch. I would say, as a 49er fan, I hope that that's the case. But in fantasy, I'm still skeptical. I think it's a situation where I would take the pieces around him. I would draft Kittle and Ayuk and Samuel and all those guys. I'd be a little bit more hesitant, though, to draft and start Mac Jones.
Real quick, Brandon, the one thing you said, Marcus, is what you said, he could have stayed at 12, and that's why I don't believe it's Mac Jones, because everybody in the world is like, Mac Jones will be there at 12. Heck, if he's not one of the four, they're talking he might be the one that falls into the 20s. We might be looking at that Aaron Rodgers staring at the screen, Brady Quinn, oh my God, I'm still on the board type of situation. So if you're trading up to 3, that tells me it's one of the other guys. So I still don't believe it's Mac Jones. But again, Brandon, if it is Mac Jones, and then we're going to talk about the one that we haven't yet. I'm going to stick with you after it, so don't go to him yet. But if it is Mac Jones, fantasy purposes, a little bit of upside, a little bit of optimism?
I brought this up before. Jimmy Garoppolo 2 years ago was, I think, QB 14 in fantasy. It's nothing special. But, you know, in this offense,
doesn't that feel like the ceiling?
Yeah. Well, so I can – the thing about Mac Jones – okay, short area accuracy was tops in the country. He gets the ball, you know, he releases it quickly. You look at the 49ers weapons, the way they're built, it's George Kittle, it's Deebo Samuels, Brandon Ayuk. It's a lot of running, a lot of, you know, play action off of that and quick hitter, quick decision throwing. You can see Mac Jones actually doing well there. And then it's, I think it is, Mac Jones could be really good, but then you know what? I think Justin Fields could be really good there too. And, the problem will be is Mac Jones will go there, will be very successful in this AFC. Told you it was a great pick. But I think what we missed in that whole thing is, Justin Fields could have went there and done the same thing and more. And go ahead.
And I guess my response to that, though, is, and I get all that, right? But is that the offense they built because of the quarterback they had? Like, could they have Ayuk and Samuel and Kittle do other things, right? It's the IPA analogy, right? Like, do people really love IPAs, or is it just that every bar has 15 of them on tap, so that's what we drink? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I mean, Mac Jones can fit right into there, but if you have a different quarterback, can you build a different, more vertical offense there? And I don't know the answer to that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, and the thing is funny, Brandon, that you said is, and I'm not saying he can't be better, but all these same things were being said about the other Jones, Daniel, yeah, when he came out of college. All the same, short area, target, accuracy, struggles a little bit deep downfield. And I saw somebody the other day said that the big three, big four wide receivers that they've always had is look at how few times they had to adjust. I have to tell you, not even SEC. If you're a top 25 school and you can't hit wide open wide receivers, you shouldn't be. That's not a positive. Yeah. You're doing what you're supposed to do. So let's throw out Mac Jones. Let's say this all is tricks and they just want to make sure that somebody's not going to overwhelm the Jets with a Mitch Trubisky trade and jump to number two to take Trey Lance. And that is the idea. Like, they want Trey Lance. They just want to make sure nobody else is playing games with them. If Trey Lance goes to the 49ers, Brandon, are we looking at him? So the question is whether or not he starts immediately, because everybody wants to throw out the quick Josh Allen. Everybody's Josh Allen now. Josh Allen was 1 out of 25. Yeah. Like, let's not pretend that Josh Allen's the common denominator success.
Yeah. Josh Allen also wasn't Josh Allen until really like this past year. I mean, let's be
exactly
real.
Exactly.
And the Bills had nothing to lose in throwing Josh Allen out there. You know, you think about Baltimore and Kansas City and even, you know, Philadelphia last year went into the season thinking they were strong playoff teams. The time that Josh Allen was, you know, in Buffalo, I don't think they felt like they were a playoff team. It was like, might as well let him go. But I'm talking about Lamar Jackson getting their opportunity and Pat Mahomes getting an opportunity and Jalen Hurts getting an opportunity. You know, it's going to take time, I think, especially if you go to a team like San Francisco, because they don't want to blow their season up early trying to get this guy to cut his teeth, you know, in live games.
It's like Washington last year, where everybody on the team was the next Christian McCaffrey. Like, these guys pop up every single year. There's 15 of them. But, yeah, everybody's going to be Josh Allen now. But, Brandon, all right, so, look, we're not thinking Trey Lance for seasonal, but dynasty. Let's take these five quarterbacks. Obviously, we don't know for sure where they're going to land. But is it Fields number two, Lance number three because of his Josh Allen potential? Or would you still take Mac or Zach Wilson or just one of those two over Lance? Like, where would you put him dynasty-wise?
Paired with Kyle Shanahan, those weapons, knowing that, you know, he's going to get a soft landing and not be, you know, messed with his confidence and he's going to get some time to grow. I think I might even, you know, it's almost a discussion of where Justin Fields goes to make sure that, you know, in a dynasty league future years, you're not, you know, maybe considering Trey Lance over Justin Fields. But I think he, yes, definitely would be at least number three in my book.
Same for you, Mark?
Yeah, I'd say he's number three. I will say, though, there is a part of me in the back of my mind that does have a little bit of trepidation about this, right? I mean, obviously, we look at the gifts, right? But we're talking about a guy who played at an FCS school, right? So the level of competition is certainly significantly different. The guys that Trey Lance was lining up against were vastly different than the guys Mac Jones or Justin Fields were lining up against on a weekly basis. Throw in the fact that he really just hasn't had that many reps all told, especially compared to these other guys. So we look at the physical gifts, we look at what he can do, and we get excited about that. But I will tell you that there is something in the back of my head saying, hey, man, maybe we should hold on a little bit just because, look, the last South Dakota State quarterback that we knew about just got traded to Indianapolis, and people are wondering whether he's broken and can be fixed. So, I mean, let's, you know, I know it's not great to scout based on the jersey, but I do think there's something to, you know, level of competition. When you play in the SEC, you are loading up on NFL talent every single week. You know, FCS level, you might see one or two other NFL guys over the course of the season. So I do think that's something that we should sort of keep in mind before the hype train rolls off the tracks.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And if, even if you throw out this past year with the one game, if you go back 2 years, there's a lot of games where you mentioned the level of competition, but he's throwing for 303 in a 38-10 game. And then the close ones where it matters are the ones where he shows up and throws 180, one touchdown, and one interception. It's like, well, it's still the same level of competition. Why aren't you showing up when we need you to show up? Why are you blowing out the doors on teams that we don't care about? So I'm with you. I have never been the biggest Trey Lance fan, and I don't know, maybe I'm also being – I just don't want to keep – being in the, like, everybody's Josh Allen now. So I'm kind of, like, doubly digging in my heels on that one. So before we get to tight ends and end up with to finish out this show, is there anybody else, Marcus, and the rest of the guys, Trask, who, by the way, I keep comparing to Philip Rivers, I think, especially with that shot putty type throw, but Trask, Newman, there was a lot of hype on Newman a year ago before his situation, so in his rushing ability and his arm. Any of the other guys that you're thinking for dynasty purposes only, like you're the third, fourth round of your dynasty draft, and you're saying, all right, I stashed this guy with the hope.
I mean, I, as a Pac-12 guy, I mean, I guess maybe Davis Mills kind of falls into that. I guess Kyle Trask is there. You know,
Davis,
I mean,
Mills, by the way, draft props are like, you see him as like projected in the 70s, and then you have draft prop sites that have it over under of like 50, and then some that have it over under of like 92.
I mean, I feel like the, I feel like after the top five quarterbacks or so, like there's just, there's no rhyme or reason to any of these guys. You know, and I would say that for any of these other guys, they really are team specific. You know, I think, you know, one, we know where Lawrence is going, but I don't think he's team dependent. I don't think Fields is team dependent. But you get to Trask, you get to Mills, you get to Kellen Mond, all these guys. It really is team specific. But, you know, like I said, I keep falling for these Stanford. Look, man, I was the guy who was like making – I made J.J. Arcega-Whiteside a deep sleeper like 2 years ago, all right?
So, oh, like, a lot of us got fucked into that.
So maybe I should stop hyping Stanford guys. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, can Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, are those the only two that matter dynasty-wise that have come outside of the first round at the quarterback position, like, in the last five-some years? Like, it's just a crapshoot, is it? You know, yeah, it's – I mean, I guess you would look at the trades. I mean, Kellen Mond's sort of interesting if he lands in the right place. I think he's kind of meh, but he has some, you know, has some physical traits, can run a little bit. You know, you could take a flyer late and hope he lands in the right situation. Hell, you know, goes in the third round to Houston. That could get pretty interesting pretty quickly. There. You never know, right? So, yeah, it's a complete flyer. But
Brandon, I don't know if you know this, but Tom Brady was taken in the sixth round. So, I mean,
Yeah. Okay, I remember that. I think he was taken a little bit before Russell Wilson and Dak.
First time hearing this.
I don't know if you know this, but Davis Mills and all the rest in college, they're the next Tom Brady, just so you know. And the next one, like we're going to see this happen all over again.
Right.
All right, let's talk tight end. And I think we have a similar situation here with the Trevor Lawrence of like, you mentioned it, Marcus. This is the first time in a long time where I know we all hate it. We all hate generational. We all hate best prospect since. We all hate blah, blah, blah. Lawrence, this is one of those times where you can say, yes, he's the best since Andrew Luck. We'll just stop at Luck. Pitts, I think, and maybe you guys disagree, but I feel like you're going to agree, this is the best since forever. I like Kyle Pitts is a wide receiver masquerading as a tight end, but guess what? He can block. He's not an exceptional blocker, but he can, which what we know about tight ends in fantasy, we want you to be able to block so you stay on the field. We don't want you to be too good that you're blocking 50% of the time, but that's the perfect mix for Pitts. Whether it's Atlanta, whether it's Miami surprises us, whether it's Cincinnati falls to the Giants, Cowboys are enamored with him and trade up, whatever it might be, I don't think the landing spot depends on that much and the fact that, Marcus, year one, we know it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. Kyle Pitts, a tight end one, because Brandon knows we did a mock draft, and I think I took him at tight end 9 or 10, and I was saying that if you're looking at who's going around him, like an Evan Ingram who can't hold on to the ball, I might even go higher just because of the upside. Like, I think in year two, Marcus, we'll put it this way. I think in year two, we're talking 2022, he's in that first group with Kittle and Travis Kelce.
No, I agree. I mean, to me, Kyle Pitts is, he's the end point, or at least the latest end point in the evolution of the tight end, right? I mean, he is, if Rob Gronkowski is Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator, like, Kyle Pitts is Robert Patrick in T2. Like, he really can be that guy. And I remember saying to some people after watching a little bit of tape, I'm like, if I'm one of these smaller DBs that was forced to line up against Kyle Pitts, like, I feel like I'm well within my rights to go over to sidelines and slap my position coach because it's just not fair. And what I sort of like about NFL offenses now is that they are starting to specialize where you have your blocking tight end, you have your sort of move, your pass catching tight end. And so you're not asking these guys to learn so much of the playbook in year one. And I think that's going to shorten the learning curve for a lot of these guys. And I think if you draft Kyle Pitts, especially if you're drafting him, you know, in the top five, you're not going to ask him to spend a lot of his time blocking, right? You're going to say, you know, go out there and do what you do best. Go catch the football, and that's going to help. And so he is going to be one of those rare examples of a tight end who performs in year one. I mean, we haven't really had that since Evan Engram, and Engram has still been chasing that high ever since. Like, he hasn't had a season that really compares to that. So I think Kyle Pitts is going to be that guy. I do think he's easily a tight end one in year one, and I'm with you. I think, you know, next year we're talking about him, you know, Kelsey, Kittle, Waller. I think he's going to be in that group of top-tier tight ends that you're probably going to have to reach, you know, I would say in 2022, you're talking about drafting Kyle Pitts in, like, the third or fourth round if you want to get him. Like, I think that's what's going to happen.
I will say, as a Robert Patrick, I mean, scariest running, chasing,
absolutely
most intimidating person all time. Like, if he's on defense and it's Ray Lewis or him, I'd rather have Ray Lewis chasing me down. But, you know, I think Evan Engram, you brought up, is a great point. I mean, you know, Evan Engram was tight end four as a rookie. It was his best season. And this is a guy who has, you know, talent well beyond even
I don't want to cut you off real quick, Brandon, but throw in, because I know people are going to say it in the comments. You throw into context, that was also with a lot of injuries, where Evan Engram at the second half of the season was essentially the only man left standing. So I just want to throw that out there. Like, does that come into your argument against or
no? Because I think, you know, let's say it's like a team that didn't throw to the tight end line. Let's say it's like Carolina. You know, Carolina gets Kyle Pitts. They're changing their offense. They're not just plugging him into what they have, you know, right there. And you're right. It's nice that he blocks a little bit. I mean, Jimmy Graham's been playing a lot of downs in the NFL year after year after year, and he can't block a lick, you know. So it's the receiving skills that people will be drafting him. You're going to use a top five pick. You're not going to try to plug him into your situation. You're going to design your offense to make sure you can take
Even
advantage
top
of those
10.
Skills. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm with you. I think he's – you know, he's, if you get him at eight or nine, you feel good because you feel like really could be top five tight end upside out of the gate.
Well, then let me spin this two different directions. First one for seasonal only. Brandon, is there somewhere in the top 10, 11 where you wouldn't think he's a tight? Like, I think the two obvious scenarios are Miami with Gesicki and he's splitting time. The Giants with Engram and also 5,000 weapons now, where, by the way, if Daniel Jones doesn't succeed this year, holy crap. But either of those teams, would that kick Pitts out of the tight end one conversation for you, or do you think it just really doesn't matter?
Look, man, when you're talking about Noah Fant and Hunter Henry and Robert Tonyan and Irv Smith and projecting for, you know, a big give me Kyle Pitts. I'll roll those dice. You know, it's once you clear the Kittles and the Kelseys and the Wallers and maybe even Mark Andrews, then it's all about, okay, I might as well draft upside. If not, then I'll just play I'll play the wheel at tight end all year long.
Don't forget,
like
T.J. Holkinson.
Well, see, you know what? I was going to put Hawkinson's there.
Kind of the guy I left out because I didn't really want to make that call right now.
I felt like T.J. Hawkinson was in a great spot in like February and March. And then free agency happened, and like Kenny Galladay went by, and Marvin Jones went by, and then Jared Goff showed up, and I'm like, oh, like I had Hawkinson,
Rashad Perryman, and Tyrell Williams.
I had Hawkinson as my tight end four, like back in like February or March, and now I'm like, I don't love that anymore. So yeah.
Well, I don't know if you saw. Did you see the report this morning that the Lions tried to trade up? Which may like sound like it's already done. I don't know why it's already done, which tells me either one of two things: the Falcons are set on somebody, or they're already looking at better offers, but that the Lions tried to trade up to four to get Chase.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting.
That was the report that came up this morning. They already tried to trade up to number four to get Chase.
Would that be the Falcons set on Chase then? That would be the only reason back one spot, right?
I would say the Falcons either – I think the Falcons are praying and hoping – that a quarterback situation comes out and somebody's trading for that spot and just throwing millions of picks at them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Intrigue.
Like, if I'm the Falcons, let's go real quick to this Kyle Shanahan. If I'm the Falcons, I pray Kyle Shanahan is taking Mac Jones and lets Fields or Lance be sitting there at number four, because I'm just going to be sitting on Trubisky offers all over the place. Like, that's just, you know, there's going to be somebody trying to jump up.
Oh, dude, so many teams are hoping that the Niners take Mac Jones. Like, there are, you know, I would say 20
the entire NFC West?
Absolutely the entire NFC West. There are, like, 20 teams, 25 teams hoping that the Niners take Mac Jones. You know, so again, either Kyle Shanahan is going to be the genius of all geniuses, or, you know, most of the football world is going to be like, bruh, like, we told you.
I told you, he needs to be the smartest man. I've said this a million times. I even said it on your show, I think, Marcus, is that he has the Midas touch with running backs. He turns random dudes into gold. He hasn't done it with quarterbacks yet. If he does it with Mac Jones, I'm going to shut up and never question Kyle Shanahan. You want to run it when you need to pass it? You want to pass it when you need to run it? I don't care anymore. You do what you want. I don't care, Shanahan. You're the best ever.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army Knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
So dynasty purposes, Marcus, this is where, and I've seen a lot of these questions, and I think this is a tough one. Dynasty, not even tight end premium, not even two tight ends, nothing, just a regular dynasty. Knowing what Pitts could be, we've just all said it. We've all said he's definitively inside the top five next year. Is he the second pick in dynasty because of that, or is it still Chase? Is it still potentially Najee Harris if he lands on the Steelers? Is that upside of this position and knowing what Kelce and Kittle do to this position and what that leg up gives you, is he the second pick in Dynasty?
I'll go you one better. I think he can be the first pick in Dynasty. Because of what you said, because of the scarcity at tight end, right? And, like, you know, I get that running back, there's a big fall off at the running back position, you know, after a certain point. We're literally talking about, when you talk about tight ends that you know you can count on week in and week out, you're talking about three guys right now, right? It is Kelce, Kittle, and Waller. And then you've got some combination of Andrews and Hockenson and Gesicki or what have you. I mean, like, I don't know. Are we buying into Big Bob Tonyan for another year? I mean, the touchdown numbers were ridiculous. And it just doesn't seem sustainable. You're talking about being able to lock in I know there's no such thing as a surefire, but the closest thing we have to a surefire thing at a position of extreme scarcity, that just screams that he could be the number one pick in Dynasty for me.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of almost there. I'm going to probably be the running back guy, though, to be honest with you. If it's Najee Harris in Pittsburgh or if it's Javonte Williams in Miami, like, Those guys are scarce too, the true featured bell cow running backs, and I think those are two situations where we would see a guy. And I would say in Dynasty, you're looking 2 to 3 years. You're not thinking 4, 5, 6 years, and I would feel really good about having a running back like that that could be, you know, 300 plus touches. And knowing that Kyle Pitts could burn me, you know, and that Kyle Pitts could really quickly be Travis Kelce and put up those kind of numbers, and then that's a bad pick. But I think there's enough of a I don't think we can just slam dunk it that that's what Kyle Pitts is going to be. He's a great prospect. We've seen it happen before, though. With running backs, it's easier to project that they're going to be good in certain situations.
And sure, good. I'm actually with Marcus on this one, and I'll throw out the counterpoint in the fact of, well, what if it's only Josh Jacobs? And I say only, and I'm talking to Josh Jacobs before Kenyon Drake, but fringe RB1. If we said Josh Jacobs and not even Kelce, Josh Jacobs and George Kittle are in the dynasty draft this year. Kittle's going one, not Josh Jacobs. And that's my counterpoint to it, and that's why I'm a little bit with Mark. Not saying that you're wrong, Brandon, but I definitely see the appeal there. And I'm a Najee Harris, please land and on the Steelers. Please, please. But I still think
– I was like, Brandon saying Javonte Williams to Miami kind of got me excited. That
yeah. Yeah. Brian Flores likes to lean on the one guy, you know, and
love
he
that.
Could be that. Yeah.
I could definitely see that. And I think we're all saying Superflex Lawrence is the 1-1, no question about it, right? Superflex.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. How far in Superflex would Pitts go two in Superflex? Or are we putting? Yeah.
I still think. I think. Again,
What if the Niners took Justin Fields? I could make a case that I might rather have Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. No. I'm still taking Lawrence.
No. I can make that case. If Fields goes to San Francisco, Santa Clara, whatever. Then yeah, I can make a strong case for Justin Fields as the number one in Superflex.
You know how much I love Trevor Lawrence, Brandon, because I don't know if you know this, Marcus. Actually, were you the one that said that you had $20, you could just give it to you? Were you the one that said that when I tweeted it?
Yeah.
I was about to bring it up. I threw $20 on the Jaguars for the Super Bowl winner next year right after the season ended. Because I'm like, Trevor Lawrence, with all these weapons and some free agents still sitting out there, I was like, you never know. I mean, I know Ben Roethlisberger took a year for it to happen, but I'm just saying. It's
something about Jacksonville quarterbacks with you, Jay. Gardner Minshew, you kind of went head over heels. And now
that was just
Trevor.
For the fun. That was just because his grandfather wanted to name him Beowulf.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Awesome. Did you know, by the way, Gardner Minshew II, that his dad's name isn't Gardner?
Well, it's that he's Gardner Minshew II because I think him and his dad have different middle names, I think is how it works.
Right. See, he just wanted to name him the second. Even though their names are different, he just wanted to include the second anyway. Because this family, I want to hang out with the Minshews. I just want to hang out with them.
A little family vacation with the Minshews. I like
it. Yeah. And of all that, all this excitement, now we get to land on kind of like a bebop type of moment here. Like, bebop, whatever. I'm just going to throw the question out there as it is. Marcus, do we care about any of the tight ends for fantasy? It's redraft, obviously, for you know, dynasty, we could consider second, third rounders, but do we care? Do we care for seasonal?
The only other one that might get any sort of attention is probably Pat Freiermuth. But even that is, I mean, you're talking end of draft dart throws. I keep joking. I'm like, believe it or not, there are more tight ends in this draft besides Kyle Pitts. But I mean, I think for redraft, I think for me, it's just Freiermuth. And even that is just, it's a flyer.
I'm with you. It's Freiermuth. I mean, maybe one of these guys comes in and has like a Hunter Henry kind of year where as a rookie, he had 8 touchdowns, didn't put up a lot of yards and catches, but they found a red zone role and it meant meaningful fantasy numbers. I think that's what you're looking at though. But you look at Cole Kmet is a really good prospect. We're starting to get excited about him now, but it took a while, you know? So it's just kind of this, you just kind of have to give away their rookie season to development.
Most of the time, I think the only one, is if I'm going to go back to Tremble, of course, you know, Notre Dame again. That's what they do. They produce offensive linemen and tight ends. That's it. They don't do anything else. Somebody like the Bills. Like, if the Bills take a shot in the third or the fourth round and they stop with the Dawson Knox experiment and all that type of stuff.
Dawson Knox. What are you talking about? I like Dawson Knox this year.
We've been trying to make Dawson Knox happen for 3 years. I mean, I know it's a quick pull, but
he's no Chris Herndon.
You know? Go back to Carolina. Dan Arnold, Ian Thomas, that's kind of stopped. Like, we're not doing that anymore. Like, we've kind of given up on that. I'm just saying, like, second half of the season, even if – that was my point anyway, Marcus, is that even if – we're still not even talking to them until probably week 6, 7, 8, 9 anyway. But Marcus, yeah. Before you get out of here,
yeah.
What did you want to say? One
well,
more
I was
thing?
Gonna say, I was, the only thing I was gonna say is the, kind of what I mentioned before. Because of specialization, I feel like the learning curve is shorter. So like now, these guys that in the past we were waiting until year three or four for a tight end. I mean, I think it's reasonable to think, depending on who it is, year two or three, we're gonna start to see some of these guys maybe be productive.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, the Bengals, if they start with Sewell and then they hit the, they, you know, tip in with what are they doing? Drew Sample. We were all excited for Drew Sample for a little while. Marcus, before you get out of here, remind everybody, by the way, at Marcus G, he does the thing I do. I'm not going to let you do it. He does the lazy way of saying, just check my Twitter. I tweet out everything. Tell everybody again, the show, especially on TV, when to tune in, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, so let's go down the laundry list then. I mean, just in general, you can find the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all those places that you find good podcasts, and I guess some bad ones too. You can check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/NFL Fantasy Football. You can find a lot of my stuff at NFL.com. For the draft, I will be doing nightly recaps of all the fantasy relevant guys. So you can read that at NFL.com. Also, we'll be doing streaming shows sort of the day after. So Friday in the pre-draft window, we'll talk about Thursday night. On Saturday, we'll talk about Friday night. We won't do our whole recap until Monday. So that one's going to be Monday. But you can find that streaming NFL.com in the NFL Fantasy app. You can find it on YouTube in case you miss it live. And then, last one, it has just been, I think, officially announced. NFL Fantasy Live, we're doing our draft fallout on May 14th. I believe it is at 5 Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific. I will just say, like they say on TV, check your local listings, set your DVR, and then hopefully sometime on May 14th it will magically appear there.
It's a Friday, everybody. Make sure you make note of that.
Yep, there it is.
Brandon.
No, Brandon, I was going to say, you're going to cover us and what you can check out at The Athletic, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody knows. I just tweeted out at Olin Kidd, and you can just look. We'll be back on Friday. Brandon and I will be, just us two, we're going to be recovering
good,
the first
chance.
Round.
You might be recovering too. Who knows?
I mean, that's true because Thursday night, I'm like similar to Marcus. You guys know this by now. I'm going to be doing live pick-by-pick skill players only. I don't do the rest of it. I need a life at some point. But similar to Marcus, recap throughout the entire thing. Friday night, Saturday during the day, and then Dynasty ranks and seasonal ranks and way too early ranks. All that will be out all this weekend. But Brandon and I, like I said, back on Friday. Thanks again to Marcus, one of the best out there. Good friend of the show. Good friend of mine. I don't know about you, Brandon, but he's a good friend of mine. We'll see you guys on Friday. Nice.